Coming up this week on Breaking Badness, today we discuss a compromising position. CISA cautions against using hacked Ivanti VPN gateways even after factory resets. Next up, what's in a C name? We're talking about the discovery Guardio Labs made regarding a large campaign of subdomain hacking, compromising over 8,000 domains from well-known brands like MSN, VMware, McAfee, and more. And of course, our fun game, Gold Guidance and Grievances. With that, Breaking Badness is next. Welcome to Breaking Badness, episode number 181, recorded on March 4th, 2024. I'm your co-host, Callie, Rock, Paper, SZA, Fencil. With me, co-host Tim, Ivant Coffee, Ivanti Helming. And last but not least, Taylor, go SPF yourself, spammers. Wilkes Pierce. Sorry.
Taylor wins.
I read it. I saw him type it out, and I'm like, oh, that's good. And I knew I was going to laugh, and I couldn't.
That's really well done. Now, I guess if we're being pedantic about it, we actually don't want them to use SPF because we don't want them to have better deliverability.
It's actually kind of the problem here. Yeah.
Oh boy. But yes, Taylor, you win this week with your fun, clever name. Mm-hmm. It was the most clever.
Although Rock, Paper, SZA is pretty good.
Oh yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
I was a little unsure if we had already come up with that in the past, but I don't know. Maybe
if none of the three of us remembers it,
then it's net new.
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect.
We declare it net new.
How is everybody this week?
Oh, doing well. I feel like March 4th should be like some kind of fun day, kind of like May the 4th, Star Wars Day. You know, you're marching 4th. Is it Army Day?
Mm.
Field Infantry Day?
I feel March 4th? They should give you a cut of the advertising for that campaign.
Ah, yeah. You know, I'm going to display huge naivete here, but has March Madness officially begun?
I have no idea. That feels like a Tay-Tay answer.
It has not, but we can see it. It's on the horizon. It's coming.
Mm.
Excellent.
It goes kind of into April, though, right? Like, it's not
Yeah, there's a lot of April, madness involved with the March Madness. It seems...
That doesn't have a ring to it, though.
Yeah, right?
It's okay. Oktoberfest is in September.
Exactly. And I think that's, where they've kind of carried on that tradition with March Madness finishing in April.
Okay. Yeah. Any favorites for you, Taylor, as the basketball aficionado, at least within this group?
Oh, well, everyone knows me for being a Florida Gator fan, so I'll root for my home team. No longer home team, but my alumni.
Okay, great. Is Gonzaga still doing stuff?
Yeah, they're really fun. Everyone loves Gonzaga. What a fun little, they're out in the middle of nowhere just playing great basketball.
I just like
them. No distractions.
It feels like the character, like a Muppet character. So if we're,
but don't tell them that.
I know.
Which Muppets? Like, is it in the Muppet Babies? Is it in the Muppet movies? Are we going with like the new?
I think I just feel that way because Gonzo is a character, so I'm like, it's not that far off. So, but yeah, I do like a Muppet.
No, movie. I mean, their mascot is Fozzie Bear.
Ooh.
No, I just made that up.
I'm like, you know what? You could say anything right now.
No, I just made that up.
I wasn't going to fact check you though. Well, should we talk about some InfoSec?
Always.
Let's talk about some InfoSec.
Okay, let's do it. So we're first going to talk about a compromising position. CISA cautions against using hacked Ivanti VPN gateways even after factory resets. Mm. So Tim, well, first of all, Ivanti is not affiliated with Dracula in any way. Right.
We have to get that out of the way.
That's very important. but as a basis for this conversation, you know, who is Ivanti and what do their VPN applications include?
Yeah, so they're actually a pretty wide-ranging company. They're US-based, and the VPN products, which we're going to talk about here today, are really only part of what they have in their stable. So they've got automation tools, they've got endpoint management, a variety of network and endpoint security devices, which includes the VPN that we'll be talking about today, but also a bunch of asset management and visibility type stuff, as well as some supply chain management tools as well. They have acquired a whole bunch of companies over the past, how old they are as a company, but they've acquired quite a few other companies that folks may have heard of, like MobileIron and Landesk and AppSense and a bunch of others. So anyway, big company as far as a bunch of products that they've got. We're specifically talking about VPN stuff today.
Okay, gotcha. And as you said, US-based, not Transylvania. I will not let go of this joke.
I think they're in Utah, which maybe is far from Transylvania.
No one ever calls Utah the Transylvania of the Western United States.
We can't. It's not Forks, Washington.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, moving on. So the article mentions that Ivanti used their integrity checker tool, aka ICT, and it failed to detect compromise while investigated multiple hacking incidents. So how did they discover that? How did they discover that they have these vulnerabilities that could be exploited if they, you know, use this tool and everything's coming up okay?
Yeah, so there's been a number of people that have been doing some research into this ever since the first disclosure that something might be wrong back in, I think, January of this year. And Volexity had some folks may follow them. They detected an incident where they found that the actor had chained a couple of different ODAs, which is what we're talking about here, kind of in the Ivanti Connect Secure devices. And I'm not sure what kind of scan they specifically did in order to find that, but they probably discovered it first because of, you know, whatever they saw the actors doing as a result of having gained a foothold through these things. VPN concentrators are one of the places you really don't want bad guys to establish a foothold, unfortunately. And nevertheless, we saw that happen here. And we've reported on some other compromises to devices. You know, this is all the network edge stuff, like firewalls, VPN concentrators, stuff like that. Those are places that you really don't want to have 0 days present in them, and yet here we are.
Let's run all the traffic to this one thing.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
Just a few latency issues and performance issues that, as long as it goes fast enough, we're good.
We're good.
Yeah. Not really.
And a quick follow-up. Do a lot of organizations have an integrity checker tool, or is that kind of, you know, proprietary to Ivanti?
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, it's not proprietary to them. I don't know how many network devices and network security devices have onboard integrity checking that you can do. Now, some of these devices, you can get, you can use a command line and get root access, and then you can probably run tools of your own that way. I don't know if that's the case with the Ivanti appliances. I have never used one. But file integrity management, integrity checkers, etc. That's a sort of a broad category of tools that ensure, usually using cryptographic checksums, that files within an operating system or library or whatnot have not been altered and manipulated. And so it's a good thing to have. It just turns out, as you mentioned, that at least a version of the integrity checker from Ivanti did not detect the presence of this compromise. I believe that they have released a newer version of that ICT, and it may at this point actually be able to detect these kinds of compromises. Of course, who knows what, if there are other 0 days lurking in there, we don't really know that for sure. But yeah, it's not, that is not something that's unique specifically to Ivanti.
Gotcha. Okay. I feel like you've already answered my question, which was about CISA indicating that more than the ICT would need to be, would be needed to detect compromise, and you know what other elements are needed here. But is there anything else we want to elaborate on before we move on?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't, you know, there's not necessarily anything, and there's specifically, there isn't anything that CISA said about running different kinds of scanning tools and so forth. What they're saying instead is you should assume breach if you're running one of these devices, and you should do your usual, or maybe step up your hunting for malicious activity on the networks using the various detection methods and IOCs. So they did publish some IOCs and detection methods in the in their advisory.
Well, Tim, if they don't advise running any scans, do they at least advise against running with scissors?
I like it. I like it.
I got Taylor coming to the recording, guns a-blazing. I'm just impressed on a Monday. Taylor has the best name.
No, I don't know. The rock, paper, scissors is really good.
I appreciate that. I wasn't fishing for a compliment, but I appreciate it.
I had like a rich source material to work with, right? You know, I could have done something with CNAMEs. I could have done something with, you know, DKIMs. We had a lot of options.
There was a lot to play around with.
All right. So that hunting can include a variety. So in this is a advisory, there are tables at the end. There are a set of file names that they recommend looking for. And then there are your usual network indicators, including some IPs and domains. I have not opened up a can of iris on these indicators, but it would be interesting to do that. And then there are some host-based indicators of compromise as well, which is a series of files and the associated hashes of those files. So those are the kinds of hunting activities they're recommending that you do if you have one of these devices. And that seems like pretty sound advice to me, because it's been a couple of months now and there's been plenty of indication of this being exploited in the wild.
So you mentioned the advice from CISA, and the article mentioned that CISA provides federal agencies with guidance after discovering signs of compromise. So what I'm gathering from your previous answer is that information is not necessarily so secret.
No, it's not. I mean, that's, you know, CISA sort of officially exists to give government agencies this kind of guidance, but they are sharing it with all of us, of course. And so, no, you can see right in the advisory what it is that they're recommending to, in their official capacity, to U.S. federal agencies, but by extension to anybody that's using this equipment.
Gotcha. I have to ask, because sometimes when we talk on our recordings, the answer is, it's secret. We're not allowed to know.
Right. No, in this case, we're allowed to know.
Good. So if factory resets might not fix this due to the potential threat of threat actors maintaining root persistence, you know, what else can we do at this time if you're, you know, an entity that's affected?
Yeah, there's nothing simple, unfortunately. I imagine that some of the entities involved are thinking about moving to a different VPN technology. It's not trivial to set one up, and you know, you can't just sort of bring in a box over the weekend, put all the user counts on it, and away you go, at least typically not. And if you did it that fast, that sounds risky to me. But there are other layers of security that you can put in place behind a VPN device. And that's things like having still robust two-factor authentication for any of your internal apps or access to other network segments. So you could do additional network segmentation, like if the LAN side of your VPN concentrator is on a business LAN, you might think about putting it on more of a bastion network instead, and then imposing some additional rules and whatnot on traffic from there to the real deepest trusted environment. So there are there are things you can do. They're just not trivial in order to kind of make up for the risk that this poses.
There's no easy way out here.
There's no easy way out. Sometimes there's not a silver bullet.
No silver bullets for Ivanti.
Even if you want to put a silver bullet into your Ivanti.
Or any other flavor of bullet.
I said, as I was saying it, I'm like, my joke makes no sense. It's mixing genres. It's mixing werewolves and vampires. And I'm disappointed in myself.
If werewolves and vampires aren't in the same genre, then you got to expand the definition of the genre.
True.
Yeah, there's got to be like a monster, you know, cinematic universe that they coexist in.
I'm sure.
Mad Monster Party, if anyone's familiar with that puppet movie from, I think, the 60s.
How about the Monster Mash song?
Yeah.
Yep, everyone's there.
They did the mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
Here we are so far away from October 2.
Well, I do think this leads us into our hoodie rating, if we may.
I think it does too.
Yeah. And if you're a newer listener, our hoodie ratings, after we, you know, discuss the new, like, a particular news story of the week, we like to assign it either a hoodie rating or a goodie rating, depending on what was shared. This would likely be a hoodie rating. Would you say so, Tim?
Yes. This is only a goodie rating if you are one of the suspected Chinese espionage groups that has been making extensive use of this and you have a lot of targets. By the way, there are, you know, according to Shodan or Shadow Server, depending on who you're talking to, there's somewhere between 15 and 17,000 of these devices exposed on the internet all over the world right now. So it's a lot of them. There's a lot of targets available out there. So as far as the hoodie rating, I mean, if you're running, this is one of these things where it breaks down in a fairly binary fashion. You're either using one of these Ivanti devices or you're not. If you are using it, things are a lot more significant for you than if you're not. So if you're not, it's kind of a curiosity item. If you are running them, I would say this is a 8 hoodie event. You know, somebody establishing, like I was saying, if you can get root access and persistence on a VPN concentrator, that's really bad.
Ooh, 8. That's pretty significant. I can't remember the last time either of you went that high necessarily. So, that's pretty significant for this show. Taylor, do you feel similarly?
Yeah, if anything, and maybe I think it's a little worse. I don't know. All right, I'll go 8. I think 8 is fine. It's really high. That's a lot of hoodies. It's, you know, when they're saying like, hey, you can't trust this device ever. You can't trust stuff coming off of this. Like, you can't even image this thing, and use it safely. That's that's a real bummer.
Bummer, T. Jones.
It really is. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That just implies like a level of adversary ownership there that is like, it's great for this 8 hoodies.
All right.
No Miller hoodies this week.
No Miller hoodies. This one, you know, I would give like a couple of goodies to the CISA report. Like this is I thought it was really well written. There's lots of documentation. The IOCs are all super clearly labeled. You know, maybe parse them out a little better so we can, but no, I thought it was a great way to get this out, a good advisory.
I think that's fair. So perfect. 8 hoodies a piece for each of you. All right. Thanks so much, Tim, for walking us through that. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk with Taylor about what's in a CNA. Stay tuned.
Hi there, Breaking Badness friends and family. Colonel Panic, Tim here from the team. If this is your first time hearing our production, welcome aboard. If you're a longtime listener, you can't be a first-time caller because we don't do that. But what you can do is leave us a 5-star rating and, if you're feeling extra ambitious, a review wherever you get your podcasts. And for new and returning listeners alike, tell a friend if you're enjoying what you're hearing. Thanks a bunch, and now let's get back to the show.
We're back. the break.
Oh, it was very pleasant.
Super.
I went for a nature walk.
Oh, yeah? How was that? Enlightening?
I'm not going to say touch grass, because that just seems like such a cliche these days. But it's always good to get outdoors.
Weather, I think you mentioned earlier, Tim, the weather's a little not very springy in Seattle.
It is not springy.
We're in the get all four seasons in a single day part of the year.
Oh. Yeah. But the summer part of those four seasons in a day is not, that doesn't include warmth. It includes a little bit of blue sky here and there.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. In the Midwest, it is warmer than usual. It's a little unnerving because we're like, okay, this isn't normal for this time of year.
Well, can you export some degrees over here to Washington State?
I would love to, actually, if I could. But yeah, very, very big plans later to check the gutters. It's going to be a party. But we're here to talk about Guardio Labs and the discovery they made, right, Taylor?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that I was just listening to a Disney song, Under the Sea name.
Under the Sea?
It's from Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
Under the sea name. I think that's how it goes.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, say my sea name, say my sea name.
I had a lot to work with this week in terms of punny names, so.
I know, I love those weeks. I love when it's easy like that. But yeah, we're gonna talk about, you know, this discovery from Guardio Labs on this campaign of subdomain hacking, compromising over 8,000 domains. That's a lot of domains. From very well-known brands like MSN, VMware, McAfee, eBay, and so many more. So, Taylor, what was the event that made Guardio suspicious of this campaign?
Yeah. Is it Guardio or Guardio? Like LaGuardia Airport.
I don't know. You know what? That's a great question. And now that you've said it, I feel uncertain.
My headcanon was definitely Guardio.
I was saying it like LaGuardia, but and of course, I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody, as I am Kaylee frequently. So I get it. But I think you're right, Tay. I think it is Guardio.
Could be Guardio. Well, they used IO in there. I mean, guard.io, right? So I think the judges will accept either pronunciation.
Yeah, they don't want us to say guard.indianocean. Guardio.
Mm-hmm. All right, I think you're right, though. So my apologies to Guardio Labs.
So yeah, they noticed some interesting spam being delivered that where the kind of the domain name on the SPF record matched up and it looked legitimate to be a legitimate MSN domain. And they identified that it was a Martha Stewart sweepstakes domain where the adversaries here had discovered that there was a CNAME record sitting out there that mapped an MSN domain over to this kind of custom old advertising domain that had been registered for the purposes of sending the email, back in 2001, 2002, which, you know, we have data on that. So we're able to step through and take a look at this stuff as well. But it's rare to see, adversary stuff go that far back. But in any event, this CNAME record, which mapped, the MSN to this Martha Stewart sweepstakes.com. I'm not sure if that's exactly what it is. I should look it up. But this Martha Stewart sweepstakes domain that had registered back in 2001, used for an advertising campaign, and then abandoned, as, you know, the majority of the domains in our data set have been at some point, right? You know, we have historical records of a couple billion or so, let's call it somewhere in that neighborhood, a billion and a half or so expired domains that have kind of blinked into and out of existence over the last 25 years or so. You know, the adversaries can look at some of this data too. So the digital footprint for some of these brands expanded, and then the folks that were using them stopped using them. They weren't renewed, but the records that were placed into DNS to map these things still existed.
So what would you say is the most special thing about this campaign? Just because in the article, they mentioned that there have been similar schemes like this one before. So what would set this one apart?
You know, it's really like the the fact that they've gone back and found all of these old things to go, you know, they're kind of leveraging these old orphaned records. They're also doing discovery of records via querying and you know, reversing and looking at SPF records and seeing where things are tied to one another from the mail sending perspective. So it's a kind of a combination of that, but it's also the duration, you know, now here's the other thing though, right? We're looking at this report. And so they're saying like, hey, we've got 8,000 domains. We think they're all tied to the same actor. When it comes to attribution, things are very tricky. So I'm going, you know, this is according to Guard.io, not according to Domain Tools, because we have not inspected all of this stuff. And you know, it'd be tough to do attribution, but they must have some good reason for throwing all the stuff together. They're saying this particular adversary has been doing this for the last couple of years. So they've gone back and looked at, it's just a long period of time. They're kind of abusing a diverse amount of brands, kind of reputable brands. And then they're also really good at using ephemeral infrastructure. So they kind of never sit on the same thing for too long, and they're always mixing and matching the various infrastructures to kind of fly under the radar while still, you know, handling a lot of volume.
Okay, gotcha. I also might have gotten a little bit ahead of myself in my questions. Do you think we should share, you know, what a CNAME is for anybody that might be unaware?
For sure, yeah. So it's a record in DNS that maps one resource name to another. So not like a resource name to like a IP address. You know, it allows you to kind of say, hey, this FQDN is, you know, map it over to this one, right? Did I get that one right, Tim?
Yeah, people often use the word alias. It's basically kind of a form of alias.
So like a linkage, you know, it allows folks to move infrastructure without, you know, breaking things to the end user, and gives a lot of flexibility. But these records can be populated and then left out there, and they're still valid. You know, if you can acquire the domain, or in some cases acquire. So in other, you know, instances of folks leveraging these orphan DNS records to, you know, do bad things, they could look on the other side and see like, oh, hey, there's a record that maps over to an IPv4 address in, you know, this virtual private server provider that's not being used right now. Let me spin up instances over and over and over again until I get assigned that IP address, and then I can start answering that question in DNS authoritatively. So, you know, we see folks hunting for orphan records in both directions. In this case, they're being used as a part of a spam campaign.
And this team used the Wayback Machine to find the owner of the subdomain in question. But is that the most efficient way to find that information, using the Wayback Machine?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I wish there were more domains to kind of look at from this particular campaign. For the particular one that they identified as related to Martha Stewart, that one just happened to be from 2001, 2002. Some of the others look to be a bit newer than that. I don't know how many, you know, truly antique records are being leveraged here. But, you know, I think the more data would be great.
I like that phrase, antique records. I'm going to use that now. Do we think this is a pretty heavy question? Do we think that this campaign was set in motion by someone who did not win that Martha Stewart sweepstakes 22 years ago?
I mean, just Occam's razor, we gotta go and say for sure, 100%. That's we gotta interview those folks. That's where you're going to break this case wide open.
I would watch that documentary. It's like, this all started because somebody entered the sweepstakes and did not emerge.
Well, you know, in between here and there, Martha has done some time. You know, it's possible she picked up some techniques.
Oh. Do you think she did this?
We can't rule it out. We can't rule it out, I guess.
Well, I mean, like, she has, she does, you know, stuff with Snoop Dogg now. Like, she's really, like,
If anything, that's on the, you know, Snoop Dogg, he's involved in a lot of legitimate businesses, right?
But what I'm trying to say is, like, she's changed her own personal brand so much that, you know, this is probably not out of the realm of possibility.
I think prison has a way of changing folks.
Yeah, she was like, man, they got those old CNAME records.
Oh, boy. But yeah, so what, and was this campaign going on, you know, since that this is just one example.
No, this is an example. I think it's the oldest. I don't know. They don't give us the full scope of it. They give us some IOCs and we can look in our data and see some connected stuff as well that overlaps and kind of tracks. But nothing else looks to be quite that old. So maybe that's kind of where the starting point is.
It is the most fun thing to mention, I think, like of anything else they might have found, like, oh, it links to this Martha Stewart sweepstakes campaign. I would mention that, too.
Yeah, but you know, it's very clever, right? So the spam that they're sending, it's just an image, right? It'll be an image that says like, hey, your iCloud stuff is all used up. And then, you know, it'll have a legitimate sender that you may, you know, think is authoritative for something like that. And if you click on the image, they then route you around a bunch of times, figure out, you know, device info and stuff from you, and then deliver you to the appropriate kind of phishing landing page or whatnot.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So how is Guard.io fighting back against this, or, you know, are there other mitigations, you know, that could be done, or is this all, you know, basically we found this and we're sharing this just for awareness, you know, where do we go from here?
It's an interesting question. So they have put out the subdomain checker. There's a checker where you can drop your domain in and they'll go look and see if you have any potential vulnerabilities to this or any domains out there that are connected to you might want to be worried about. You know, I think DNS hygiene is important. And so if we have more folks out there beating the drum on that, that's probably a good thing.
Absolutely. So those were all the questions that I had. I think we're going to ride into our hoodie ratings. So we started with you, Taylor, last time. So Tim, having listened to, you know, everything Taylor shared, what sort of hoodie rating are you thinking?
I think the challenge with this is there, because it is so sprawling, there are so many brands involved, it is going to be hit or miss as to how a given brand gets affected. So I think it's going to be kind of different numbers of hoodies for different victims in this. So what would I say is the overall rating? I think I'll kind of go down the middle at a 5, but this problem of we've seen stories before of old infrastructure, old references, things like that, that get then co-opted by bad actors. There is so much inter-site, cross-site, et cetera, communication that goes on, and it gets crufty and old, and, you know, websites are of big companies are astonishingly complex now, and there are a lot of these interactions going on underneath that probably, you know, in many cases, somebody wrote some of the code years and years ago. They're long gone. Nobody knows what it's doing or even that it's there in a lot of cases. So how Taylor mentioned that, you know, the digital footprint of the victim companies will expand as an actor uses malicious domains or subdomains that are connected to them. And how bad this is for you depends on how much your particular digital footprint expanded without your knowledge. So I don't know. I'm just going to say 5.
Okay. That seems, I appreciate your rationale and I agree with it. Taylor, what are you thinking? Are you feeling similarly?
Yeah. You know, I think it's in that neighborhood. Let's think here. So the volumes, you know, that's, I think one of the interesting things is how long it's gone on and the overall volume of it is pretty high. So that indicates that like There must be a rate of return here for our adversary. So they must be successful in order to kind of keep this scope up.
But I mean, it's also like, don't you get the impression, I don't know, I feel like with things like this where the scope is so big, they're out there sort of collecting these things. And, you know, when and where they implement them, we'll see, because it's not across the board all at once. Everything everywhere all at once. Yeah. It's not necessarily that, but yeah. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to go kind of low just because spam generally isn't, you know, high on my priority list of things, but you know, they're saying this is a relatively novel way of getting spam delivered, which, you know, that's not good for anybody. We'll go 4.5 hoodies, just right down the middle on a hoodie. I'm going to go just a little under 5.
And spam has a squishy enough definition that it certainly can include malware and other malicious stuff and still get called spam.
Yeah. And if they, yeah, because it does look like they'll kind of redirect you all over the place. Yep.
We will redirect the crap out of you.
You won't know where you end up.
Certainly not. You're not definitely winning that sweepstakes.
Nope. I have bad news for you about the sweepstakes. If you're out there and you're waiting, I think it's time to let it go.
Well, thank you so much, Taylor, for walking us through that. I appreciate it. Before we adjourn today, do we want to talk about our gold guidance and grievances?
That seems like a splendid idea.
Excellent. So again, if you are a newer listener, we like to conclude our episodes recently by talking about something good within, it could be within the industry or not within the industry, you know, good news is good news. Any guidance that we might have, any tips or tricks, and then of course anything that's grieving us this week. And we do like to do this in reverse order because ending on the grievance, it's a massive bummer, quite frankly. So we're gonna start there and work our way back to the gold. So we just heard from Taylor. So Tim, why don't we start with you?
All right. Well, let's dive right into it. So we'll start off with my grievances. And I got to say, it's for the pharmacy ransomware attack that a lot of people are probably familiar with. Some estimates are that over 90% of pharmacies in the U.S. suffered effects from it. So most folks listening are probably aware, or at least saw the headlines around that. So that's really annoying. And I just saw that the attacker has received a $22 million payment, which, you know, again, as we've said so many times, like, I don't envy the person who has to make that hard decision. At the same time, I hate seeing ransoms paid out. So that's my grievance. My guidance is not tech related, but Formula One. If you're bored with Formula One, which even Formula One fans at this point, I mean, fans that I know are really bored with Formula One.
Is it because Max Verstappen wins all the time?
It's because he wins all the time, sometimes by margins of 18 or 20 seconds or something, which in this kind of racing is a ridiculous amount. And, you know, now there's the whole a soap opera going on about misconduct at the Red Bull team. And anyway, if you're tired of all of that, but you like watching noisy, fast things go around and compete with each other, watch MotoGP. That's the highest echelon of motorcycle racing. It's competitive. It's dramatic. It is not riddled with the kind of soap opera controversies that F1 is. And the riders are generally a pretty affable bunch. You know, you see them in their post-race interviews, and they're interesting to hear them talk, and they're supportive of each other, and it's just a whole different atmosphere. So watch MotoGP if you're bored with Formula One. My gold, I don't know. I was, you know, I'm a lifelong, essentially, Star Wars fan, and I saw that there are two new Star Wars movies being where filming has started, so I'm excited about that. I, you know, there's an unevenness to the quality, I would say, of the Star Wars franchise over the years, but I still am always down for going to a new Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks don't remember that there was a long period of time with no Star Wars stuff at all.
It was a big drought. Yeah.
From like 83 to 99. So
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tim. I think my husband would appreciate your guidance, as he is also somebody that likes to watch things go fast and turn left.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he should definitely. Well, they turn right and left.
Oh, right and that's right.
Oh, yeah. For sure. You know, and when you're watching the onboard view of a motorcycle that's leaned over at like a 60-degree angle, that's pretty exciting, I have to say.
Very true.
Yeah.
Taylor, what are your gold guidance and grievances, starting with your grievance and working your way back?
Yeah, I'll echo on folks impacting the healthcare industry, or malicious actors impacting the healthcare industry. That's a nightmare. I think another thing that's way less impactful, but the site formerly known as Twitter is like adding voice calling. So shut that off if you have that account, if you have an account still, so people can't bother you. That's a grievance.
Did someone bother you, Taylor?
No. But it's the fact that they're just throwing stuff out there. It's make it an easier way for people you don't want to contact you. I don't know. That's annoying. That's a grievance. And then let's see. Over the weekend I bumped into. Have you ever used? Is it the CyberKnife?
I have not used the CyberKnife.
I don't know what that is.
I'm sorry, not CyberKnife. CyberChef. My brain's
I
not
still don't know what that is.
I haven't used the CyberChef either.
So the CyberChef is really neat. You can check that. Then we'll do two. We'll do two cool things. So CyberChef is it's GCHQ from Britain, but it's a lot of recipes for dealing with encoding, decoding things. It's a lot of neat stuff in there. And over the weekend, I found a kind of a command line version of it called the Binary Refinery, which rhymes, which I love. And I wanted to, if folks were...
I immediately trust it because it rhymes.
Right? that's my guidance.
Perfect.
I like that. We over on the domain tools side of things, we've published some recipes as well.
100%.
I love those recipes. I think there's a webinar about that as well.
There is?
Yeah. Taylor, do you have a gold, or is your gold also your guidance?
The gold, yeah, the gold and the guidance are the same.
Okay, very cool. Well, this has been great, everybody. Thank you so much for sharing, your tips, your grievances, and, your good news with our audience, and thank you for walking through those two stories. We really appreciate your time here today, and thank you to our listeners for spending some time with us each week. You're the reason why we do this, so we do hope you come back, because there will be another all new episode of Breaking Badness next week. But in the meantime, stay frosty out there, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody.
That's about all we have for this week. You can find us on Twitter at Domain Tools. All of the articles and IOCs mentioned today will be included in our blog post, which can be found at domaintools.com/resources/podcasts. Catch us every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific time when we publish our podcast and blog. We'll see you next week on another episode of Breaking Badness. Until then, remember, don't drink and click.